For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And we have both been out to Cheektowaga, to Desiderio's Dinner Theater at Bobby J's Italian-American Grill, to see Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers.
What a play. Tony Award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning.
Neil Simon's only Pulitzer. Took him a long time to get any kind of respect as a serious playwright. Everyone knew that he was a genius of comedy, had come out of television, and these rather formulaic Broadway comedies from the early 60s. Things like Come Blow Your Horn, The Odd Couple, Barefoot in the Park. Wonderful stuff, but not considered on the high end of the cultural ladder. And then with the later comedies, the overtly autobiographical comedies, Brighton Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues, Broadway Bound, and Lost in Yonkers. Finally, people sitting up and noticing, wow, he can actually write and tell a story with depth. Though I must say that seeing Lost in Yonkers again did remind me that it is in the old well-made formula. This is not groundbreaking. It is simply perfect.
And the performances are right up there. Well, obviously, we were both very much impressed with Ellen Horst as stern Grandma Kernitz, but I was really impressed with the kids. And as you know, I usually don't like children on stage, but I was captivated by Aidan Harite as Jay and Timothy Whipple as his kid brother, Artie.
Oh, everybody likes the kids in this show. I think that the little trick that Neil Simon plays very well in this show is that they're two brothers in the story. Their father has to deposit them with his mother because the boy's own mother has died. There is no one else. So he leaves them with his mother, even remembering that when he was a kid, she did things like lock the kids in the closet and belittle them for crying, and she's rather a mother. Monster. And what saves these boys is that they have the sense of humor of Neil Simon.
Yes.
That they wisecrack their way through life and have comical observations about their family. And for child actors, they do have a lot on their shoulders. They have to land the Neil Simon jokes perfectly. But the emotional weight of the play lies elsewhere, on the shoulders of the character Bella, played by Diane DiBernardo, who is described as being, what is the word? Her mind is out for repairs. It's pure of heart, a total innocent. And so it's the synergy between these two characters. Each creates the other's performance, but that is what gives the play emotional depth. But the boys are the beneficiaries because they are so funny and they are so dear, and it is their presence that kind of reminds everyone of what the meaning of life is after all. And so the audience falls in love with these young men, and they are highly praised for these astonishing performances, buoyed by all of the theatrical elements around them.
And I thoroughly enjoy that everybody on stage plays a character who, at heart, is a very good person. Even Grandma. But you say that's not always played that way.
Never. Ellen Horst did something I have never seen before. And I saw Irene Wirth and I saw Mercedes McCambridge. Ellen Horst betrayed a little flash of when the boys allude to their own deaths. And she had a flash of terror at that. You didn't get that from Irene Wirth or Mercedes McCambridge. Don't be trying to scare me with death, kids. I've seen it. Rather different. And keep in mind, you know, we're playing in front of dinner tables. Lisa Ludwig directing. It's impossible to establish focus, so you just try to maintain momentum in a situation like that. Not unlike Shakespeare in Delaware Park. The audience is out there somewhere, but unlike when Shakespeare actually played and the audience was right at your feet, shoulder to shoulder, it's not going to be like that. There's some over here, some over there, some over there. And so you maintain the momentum of the theatrical moment, but it is impossible to build that kind of focus. You do try to take nuance where you can, as in the example we've just given for Ellen Horst, but basically it's let's keep charging on through to the end, which the play does facilitate by being so tightly plotted.
Hey, I wanted to talk about something with you. I went up to the Stratford Festival and I saw Othello, which is everything Othello should be. He's mean. And even worse is Iago. And they're played by Michael Blake and Gordon Miller. Well, anyway, the next day we go to see the same two and others.
And they were playing the Sunshine Boys.
Almost. They were in the Merry Wives of Windsor. They were just the most jovial fellows. I just get such a kick out of that at these destinations like Stratford and Shaw. And you've talked about that too.
Well, it serves a lot of functions. The primary one is logistical. At the Shaw Festival, the entire cast of Rope is also in Brigadoon, but Brigadoon has a larger cast, so the other half of the cast was also in The Horse and His Boy.
Right.
And great contrast, because those shows could not be more different from each other. And therefore, it also protects the actors against the great danger of the monotony of repetition. But it's fun to see actors actors in contrasting roles. The cast of Glass Menagerie is also in Sex. And in one instance, Jonathan Tan, he is playing the gentleman caller in Glass Menagerie. Well, in Mae West's Sex, he's a woman, a down-and-out prostitute, completely contrasting roles.
Well, the Stratford Festival, the Shaw Festival, they continue all summer long and well into the fall. So folks are advised to get on over the bridge and enjoy it.
For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.